Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
All right, well, John talked about fact-checkers having to visit a chiropractor. We've got a couple fact-checkers with us right now. We're going to focus on question four. So to fact-check both sides, we're joined by addiction psychiatrist Dr. Kevin Hill. He's the director of the Substance Abuse Consultation Service at McLean Hospital and author of Marijuana, the Unbiased Truth About the World's Most Popular Weed. Dr. Hill, it's good to have you back.
Thanks for having me on, Magna.
Also with us is WBUR's Martha Beebe. She's been reporting for a long time about marijuana and on question four as well. Martha, it is great to have you as well.
Hi, Magna.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about what the question four ads are saying, and I want to play one here to get us started. Here's a clip from opponents of legalizing marijuana, the No on Four group.
Question four would allow thousands of pot shops and marijuana operators throughout Massachusetts in neighborhoods like yours.
Okay, so Dr. Hill and Martha, fact check us on that. If question four passes, would we see thousands of operators across the state?
Can I start with that number, Kevin? Because I don't know how you get to thousands. The question says that towns would have to allow 20% of the retail licenses. So take Boston, 320 retail licenses, 20%, 64-ish. You add the medical marijuana dispensaries. I'm not sure that we're going to see that kind of proliferation. So, John, maybe we're back to your sort of scare tactics idea there a little bit. But there isn't cities and towns do have to allow them unless there's a local vote.
Absolutely.
Correct?
So we saw the same type of idea with the medical marijuana campaign, fear that there would be medical marijuana dispensaries in every community. And several communities have fought them tooth and nail. So I do think that that number seems outrageous. Mm,
but Martha, as you said, the ballot question is an opt-out question.
That's
for,
right.
for cities and towns, not an opt-in one.
Yes, and that WBUR poll that was out, you mentioned, Magna, showed that 60% of respondents said they would not be bothered by having a store in their neighborhood. So it seems like the hurdle for town managers or mayors to cross if they want to secure a vote to ban the stores would be difficult.
Hmm. Well, let's listen to a clip from the group that's supporting marijuana legalization, Yes on Four.
It will tax and regulate marijuana for adults 21 and over, bringing millions in revenue for schools or law enforcement.
Okay, so how much would question four tax, and will we see the millions?
Well, you would see millions, but unfortunately, you're not going to see as much as you possibly could. In the other states that have legalized recreational marijuana, the effective tax rate, adding up all the taxes, essentially from 25% to 44%, and what the current ballot initiative proposes is an effective tax rate of 12%, so less than half of any other state. So you'd leave a considerable amount of money on the table. In Colorado in 2015, they raised $125 million or so. So if you base it upon that type of math, we're talking about leaving $70 million or so on the table with that effective tax rate.
The estimate here is $100 million in the third year of legal marijuana. So that's, if you break it down by the state sales tax, it's $63 million to the state. 37 or so would go to this new entity that would be regulating marijuana. And just about $2 million to cities and towns. So that's $2 million across the whole state.
Interesting. So the vast bulk of it going to the state coffers then.
Mm-hmm, through the sales tax.
Earmarked for anything?
Not at this point, but that's to be determined.
Okay. Now, there's also questions about how it would be taxed. Would it be taxed by weight, by THC concentration? What do we know about that?
Yeah, wholesale.
So Colorado is figuring that out as we go, and I think they've done a reasonable job, certainly. But the current 24-page ballot initiative does not get that specific as to how taxation would occur. And I think that would be one of the many issues that would fall under the auspices of the Cannabis Control Commission.
Hmm. I might just add, Kevin, you know this, that the folks who put the 12% in say the reason they wanted it to be on the lower side was because they didn't want to, they wanted to be roughly in line with the black market price. They didn't want there to be a big difference so that people would keep buying on the black market.
Well, I think that the black market issue is one of the distorted issues of this campaign, unfortunately. The pro folks will say that they're trying to, quote, eliminate, unquote, the black market. You're never going to do that. There's always going to be a black market there. You will definitely reduce it dramatically when you legalize an illegal substance. And then On the other side, the anti-marijuana people talk about a thriving black market in Colorado, and that's not the case either. So they have dramatically reduced the black market in Colorado, but again, there's always going to be somebody selling something different or cheaper. So the tax rate being low is really not a strong reason, you know, to try to curb that black market or eliminate it. It's not a reasonable expectation.
Hmm. Well, let's hear another clip from advertising from opponents to question four, talking about what they believe are some of the potential consequences of legalization.
In pro-pot states, incidents of drugged driving and fatal car accidents are up.
Okay, so this is what I'm really wondering. Is it true and how do we know?
Well, what they're talking about are accidents that have people involved in them that have a positive marijuana tox screen. And so it's interesting. That's one of the issues that they also use to talk about the difficulties that law enforcement will face. So in Colorado, they use a blood test more often than not, and the anti-people will talk about the lack of a breathalyzer. So that's a challenge. I think that what we all know is that the current methods for evaluating driving under the influence of cannabis are not good. So therefore, when you look at the Colorado data, you know, that's not necessarily saying that the cannabis has caused those accidents. It just so happens that those folks have marijuana in their system.
Yeah, I think that's a AAA study. Well, there is a AAA study out of Washington that shows the doubling of fatal accidents, but they don't know which driver caused the accident. Uh-huh. They don't know how much THC was in the person's
it's
system.
It's someone involved in the accident.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's a little, it's squishy, I would say. There is a fact sheet from the National Highway Safety Transportation Office that says the research on increased risk when you are using marijuana is mixed, that it's not really clear. But I think that goes back to Kevin's point about the difficulty of measuring just what's happening to you when you're driving and you've smoked or ingested weed.
Yeah, I think that's a legitimate point to be concerned about. Clearly that, you know, law enforcement won't have the technology that we'd like them to have in this case, but in other states that have done this, they've done a reasonable job of trying to do the best they can with the available technology. Mm.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what question four does state about keeping marijuana out of the hands of those under 21. Here's a clip from advertising from a group supporting question four.
Question four requires strict product labeling and childproof packaging and bans advertising directed at kids.
All right, fact check that one. Is it an accurate statement?
It could be. So in the 24-page ballot initiative, that leaves that issue of advertising to the Cannabis Control Commission. So I think there are plenty of places in the ballot initiative where there isn't the level of detail that people are comfortable with. I mean, it's a great first draft, but how much of that are you going to clean up? And I think that's one of the areas. It is addressed. Advertising's addressed. Packaging's addressed. But perhaps not to the level that we need it to be.
And it would be up to the commission to address it or to provide greater guidance and detail.
Yeah, they say the implication is that they'll piggyback on some of the regs that have been drafted to control medical marijuana, which does not allow products that look like candy. But look like candy is kind of vague.
Right. Right. Okay. And remind us, who does the ballot question say? Who would appoint the commission? How many members would be on the Cannabis Commission?
So the treasurer appoints the three-member Cannabis Control Commission, and I believe there'll be a 15-member advisory board as well that's appointed by the governor.
It's okay. Quite a lot of power in the hands of three people.
Three people for the whole state. All right. There's one other fact or assertion that I want to check with both of you. This doesn't come from advertising. Instead, it comes from the debate that WBUR UMass Boston and the Boston Globe hosted about ballot question four, and it has to do with contention over teen use in states where marijuana has been legalized. So in this clip from our debate, you're going to hear Jim Borgasani, he's communications director for Yes on 4, and State Senator Jason Lewis from the No on 4 camp, and they tussled over this question of teen use. The clip starts with Jim Borgasani.
In Colorado, the Healthy Kids Colorado survey, teen use is absolutely flat since legalization. We have not seen teen use increase in any other state. In fact, nationally, despite 27 states having medical marijuana, we've seen teen use continually decline since 1997.
That's completely misleading.
That's not misleading at all. We have seen teen use decline.
Josh, may I respond
to
that?
I want to move on to another.
That's completely misleading. In fact, federal data, which tracks usage across all states, showed a 12% increase since legalization in Colorado. And even
That's
if you put
true,
aside
Jason.
Dueling
that
studies, even if you want to put aside dueling studies, I ask you to, what does your common sense tell you?
Okay, so you heard their State Senator Jason Lewis and Jim Borgesani presenting a couple of different numbers, a set of numbers from the Healthy Kids Colorado survey from the Colorado Department of Public Health, I believe, and some federal numbers as well. So what's the truth here? What are actual rates of teen use in Colorado post-legalization?
I think this is a really complex issue, and certainly we want to see more data on it. But given the data that you're referring to, I think that the pro folks are right on this one. Use among kids has been flat in the United States. The two data sets that you're talking about, the one that the anti group talks about is from the high intensity drug trafficking area. They talk about an increase, but it's not a statistically significant increase. You know, it has to do with the fact that it's a small sample size, and within the margin for error, you know, that type of thing says that it's really not a statistically significant increase, whereas the Healthy Kids survey that you mentioned, which has a much larger sample size and is also the data that the state of Colorado actually relies upon more heavily and believes is more accurate, says that use is flat.
I might just add that even when you look at that national survey that Kevin just mentioned and you were talking about, Meghna, in Washington, it's flat. In Colorado, it's up a little bit, although the Department of Public Health doesn't say it's statistically significant. The opponents will say if you dig in, if you look at the places where there are the highest concentration of stores, you see higher rates, but that's their interpretation. That's not anything that's been proven. I think a lot of people do wrestle with Jason Lewis's last comment, though. It kind of goes against what we would expect to have happened. And so people think that maybe we just don't know enough yet about the effects.
We want to know more, but I think this also underscores the importance of really listening to the evidence. I mean, that's why we do the science, right? You have to test hypotheses rigorously, and then you have to live with the results. Sometimes the answers aren't what you expect. And I think that the answers with these policies really say that these policies themselves are not the reason that some kids end up using marijuana.
There's an underlying issue there,
there
that leads them to use. Well, Dr. Kevin Hill is a director of the Substance Abuse Consultation Service at McLean Hospital and author of Marijuana, The Unbiased Truth About the World's Most Popular Weed. Dr. Hill, thank you so very much for coming in today.
Thanks for having me.
And Martha Biebinger is WBUR's health reporter. Martha, thank you so much. Your reporting has helped us help keep us straight here as we head towards November. Thank you so much. We'll be back. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.